Welcome to a special bonus episode of the This Is Money podcast. Not with me, Georgie Frost, but with editor Simon Lambert and Barney Whiter. Now, following on from last week's episode about the FIRE movement, financial independence and retiring early, our Simon went off to find out more. He spoke to Barney, who has done just that. He paid off his mortgage at 32, built up an investment portfolio, and then quit his job in 2014 at the age of 43, all whilst supporting a family with three kids. No lottery wins, inheritance, or illegal activity involved. Barney now helps others do the same in his blog, The Escape Artist.
Barney, welcome to the This Is Money podcast. So I guess I'll kick off by asking, what does financial independence mean to you? And are you financially independent?
Yeah. So to me, financial independence is synonymous with financial freedom. So to me, it's about freedom, it's about choices, and it's about having the option whether to work, and if you do choose to work, you know, what sort of work you do, what hours you do, what sort of people you work with, etc. So to me, it's all about optionality. I'm financially independent. I used to work as an accountant, and I quit that in 2013. So I've been essentially financially independent for the last, whatever, 8 years or so.
And have you continued to work in that time?
Yes, I there's always a period, I call it the decompression period. So after I quit, you know, there was a period I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to kind of chill, relax, you know, throw away the alarm clock, wake up naturally. But after a while, you look for things to do. And so, you know, since then, I've been writing my blog, The Escape Artist. I've been doing some coaching for people. And I've even actually done a little bit of my old job on a kind of freelance basis, with the hours not too onerous, because you need something to do, right? You need something to occupy yourself. And so you have to kind of build a new life. And so I think doing some work that you enjoy and you believe in, and that kind of provides you a structure, meaning and purpose, is a good thing.
But it's about having the choice of how and when you do that, rather than it being, you know, the employment scenario, or even the self-employment scenario, where most people who are self-employed, you know, they've got to work pretty much all week long in order to keep the roof above their head.
Yeah, that's the problem with the traditional employment model. It was all or nothing. And so, you know, essentially, you sign your life away, you give them 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And that's fine when you're kind of getting started and you need to work like that. But for people who are wired a certain way, kind of the awkward squad, people like me, it eventually gets kind of intolerable to follow company rules and procedures and kind of put up with office politics and stuff like that. And so if you're wired a certain way, you're prepared to kind of put up with more frugality and put up with a bit of discomfort, if you like, as the price of getting to financial independence.
So on that note, the frugality note, I think that's one of the ones that people always question when they're looking at this. How did you get to financial independence? What did it involve? How much did you have to give up?
So as with everyone, there's four elements to how I got to financial independence. So one, earn more. Two, spend less. Three is invest the difference wisely. And four, know when you've got enough, know when you can walk away. And so, you know, for the first one, earn more, you know, I behaved kind of conventionally as would an ambitious professional, like I had a lawyer or an accountant or someone like that. You know, so I qualified, I did my exams, I worked hard, I kind of climbed the greasy pole. And so I got my earnings higher. And that, of course, makes it easier to save a bigger proportion of your income. And essentially the way the numbers work is if you can save 50% of your post-tax income, it takes you about 17 years to go from broke to financially independent. So number one, earn more. Number two, like spend less. We spent below our means. We, you know, the people that I was working with, they had a different lifestyle to me. They spent more. I was frugal compared to them, but not compared to, I don't know, someone living in India, for example. So frugality is relative. Then you kind of have to learn about, you have to teach yourself as much as you can about investing. I mean, you can make that pretty simple by just, you know, investing in a, in a global tracker fund, for example, but you've got to learn and get comfortable with equity volatility and price going up and down. And that puts a lot of people off right from the get-go. And then at the end of that process, at the end of that 17 years or whatever it is for you, you have to be able to kind of know how much is enough and then step away from work if that's what you want to do.
And how difficult is it once you've got that pot built up, when you think, right, that is enough, I can step away from work, to then make that last? I mean, obviously I've heard talk of the 4% rule and so on. Has that worked out okay for you? I mean, it must feel good when the markets are up a lot, but when they're falling, do you look at it and think,
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable if you've kind of trained yourself to be a kind of good saver. It's very uncomfortable to go from kind of accumulation mode to sort of the idea of, oh, I've got to run down this pot now and hope it lasts until I die. And so that's another reason why a lot of people then choose to do some work post financial independence, because it just transforms the numbers, makes it so much easier. And essentially you immunize yourself from the market volatility. So I don't care if the market goes down, because I'm kind of earning enough from bits and pieces to, you know, earn my kind of reasonably modest living expenses.
Obviously, you've talked about being financially independent. There's the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early. And that's sort of got a bit of a head of steam, I think. It's a niche, but it's a niche that's got a bit of a head of steam. What do you think of that movement?
It's definitely a net positive for the world. So essentially, you know, what the movement has done, it's made a noise. It's popularized a certain degree of financial education and financial literacy. And it's encouraged a bunch of people to take control, you know, learn about investing, stop wasting their money, cancel some of those gym subscriptions or Netflix subscriptions that they weren't ever using. So I think it's definitely a net positive. As with any kind of cult movement, there are downsides, and there's obviously people that kind of go a bit mad and take it too far and kind of treat it like some sort of quasi-religious experience. That's kind of the modern world and social media, I guess.
Yes, because that's something it always seems to me, certainly when I've considered it, is like, how much of the good things in life do you have to miss out on along the way? But I guess it's a spectrum. I think you're suggesting that you can do this and you can still do those things along the way, but do them in the most sensible and frugal way. You don't have to absolutely give up every bit of fun.
Yeah, I mean, for comedy value, I'll give you a good example of something that I scrimped like massively on, just because it was so mad and it ended up like costing, you know, blowing up in my face. So I was so tight at points that I reused like daily disposable contact lenses. I could make a daily disposable contact lens last like weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, thereby saving whatever 10p or like £1 or something, you know, until like one day that kind of didn't work out for me and I scratched my cornea with it and then ended up in hospital. So is it possible to take frugality too far? Absolutely. Have I done that? Absolutely. You know, have I made some idiot decisions along the way, like that were kind of too much penny pinching? Absolutely. But I think everyone kind of has to say, okay, I'm going to put myself on a frugality spectrum. So if you think about, on the left-hand side of the frugality spectrum, you've got Bear Grylls, right, who doesn't need to spend any money. He can just live off worms and grasshoppers and stuff like that. So he's financially independent even when he hasn't got any money. And then at the other extreme of the frugality spectrum, you've got your sort of Saudi prince or your sort of hedge fund gazillionaire. And they're spending so much money that they might not be sustainably financially independent, even if they had £1 billion. And so everyone's kind of got to sit somewhere on that spectrum. And generally in the modern world, in the West, we've just gone a little too far to the right and we've got a little bit too fat and happy, I would suggest. And so from an aesthetic perspective, from a minimalist perspective, and from a health perspective, actually most people could do is spending a bit less on, you know, alcohol and Netflix and processed food, for example.
Beyond that, what would be your advice to someone listening to this and considering trying to reach financial independence?
just learn more, you know, learn about the power of compounding, learn how like the stock market can, you know, create wealth for you kind of while you sleep, learn about the money game. There are some amazing books. I've got a book list on my website. I mean, the top three, I'll just rattle off the top of my head, that I recommend to everyone. One is The Millionaire Next Door. Two is Your Money or Your Life. And three is Atomic Habits by James Clear. That my starting suggestion for anyone would just be go read those books.
Thank you very much. That was fascinating stuff. And what are you planning to do with your financially independent summer, if I dare ask?
So I'm going on holiday to Croatia in a couple of weeks' time. Normal family holiday. My daughter has just graduated from uni. My youngest has just finished his O-levels. So there's a bit of kind of family celebration that's coming down the track.
That is a great answer. Definitely the one I was hoping for, rather than I'm just going to sit in a darkened room. Barney, thank you very much for joining us on the This Is Money podcast. And I would say to all of our listeners, go and check out the Escape Artist blog to find out more. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Simon.